tonight. God bless you. Let's stand. This is 311 in your hymn book. You believe that one day we'll all be happy? Amen.
Oh, there's a happy land of promise over in that great beyond, where the saved of earth shall soon their glory share. Oh, where the soul of men shall enter and live on forever.
One another this evening.
Around that throne in that land where no one ever knows a care. ages will join in that triumph song. Everybody will be happy. We'll be happy over there. Amen. I'm feeling pretty happy tonight. I don't know about you, but amen. Good to be in the presence of the Lord again together. And I've got to thank you that I want to read tonight. It says, to all of you, somehow just saying thank you doesn't seem like enough, but I hope you know how much your kindness has meant to me. To the saints at the Church of the Open Door, words cannot adequately express our gratitude for the kindness shown through the time of Dad's medical events and through his memorial service. Thank you for visiting with him. Each sacrifice of time was greatly appreciated by him and his family. Thank you for your prayers. All were valued and heard by our Heavenly Father. Thank you for the food at the funeral home and overwhelming expression that the family enjoyed for days afterwards. Thank you for your kind support. We continue to feel it as we journey on, pressing the battle. One more soldier has made it home. Soon and very soon, there will be a joyous reunion where there is no more pain, no more sorrow, and goodbyes will never be spoken. Won't that be a happy meeting? Again, thank you for everything. God's love is evident in all that you have done, Sister Lori. So we certainly appreciate that. And have a few announcements that I want to make. Lord willing, Brother Ron Lilly will be here with us this weekend, and starting tomorrow night here in the fellowship area downstairs, there'll be a youth Bible study that he'll be leading, and that'll be from 7:30 to 9:30, and then we'll have a youth service here at the church Friday, April the 27th at 7:30, and that's for anyone's welcome to attend, but it'll be focused to the youth, and we're going to just reserve the first three rows for the youth, but if you'd like to come, you'd be welcome to attend that. And then he'll be preaching for us Sunday morning and Sunday evening as well. And also wanted to mention, we kind of got a little slacked on this because the weather outside had been so bad with the snow and the rain and the cold and everything. But I'm going to ask, moving forward, now that the weather is nice, if we could try to minimize the fellowship in the entryway after service, especially when people are still in here praying, because there's been some complaints that the noise from everybody talking and laughing and things out there in the entryway, even with the doors shut, you can still kind of hear that in here. And so it's good to fellowship after church, but the main thing we come for is to get closer to the Lord. So if the Lord's dealing with somebody in here, we want to just let that be the priority. And so if the doors are shut when you go out, the deacons will shut the sanctuary doors, and if those are shut, that means somebody's still inside here praying. So just try to go either down to the basement for fellowship or outside, and then if there's nobody remaining in the service praying, then they'll open those doors, and if you want to stand back there in fellowship and nobody's praying in here, that would be fine. But if it looks like somebody's praying after service, we just ask that you go ahead and move on, and if you don't
get offended if one of our deacon brothers asks you, there's somebody praying in here, could you please just move on outside and continue your fellowship? So, and then we've got several prayer requests tonight. There's a prayer request that says, please pray for Jesse Myers' leg to get better. I believe he had an injury, and so we want to remember him in prayer. And then Brother Jeremy Bird asks that we remember a co-worker of his. His name is Matt Streck, and he's a good friend of Brother Jeremy's from work. He lost his wife. She passed away a few days ago, and he has two young girls. So we want to remember that prayer request tonight. Also, Brother Danny Stater passed away on Monday night, and the viewing was this evening, and the funeral will be tomorrow at 11 a.m. at the Branham Tabernacle. So I want to remember the family during this time and lift them up in prayer. And then also my wife's cousin, Daniel Wirtz from Minnesota, passed away on Monday. It was very sudden. He was only 37 years old, and he was cutting down a tree with a chainsaw. And when he did, the chain had got cut in the tree, and he was there by himself. And it appears what had happened is he went to walk away to his car to get something to get the chain unstuck, and didn't realize the tree was cut as far as it was, and so it came down on him from behind. And so his little 9-year-old boy actually found him and didn't realize that he had passed away, and ran half a mile to the neighbors to get help. But when they got there, they realized that he had passed. So please remember the Wirtz family in prayer, and all of us for Traveling Mercies. Rebecca and I and the kids will be leaving right after service tonight to head towards Minnesota. We probably won't get there tonight, but we'll stop somewhere along the way and get some rest and go on in tomorrow. And then the viewing will be Friday, and the funeral will be Saturday. So we'll miss at least a portion of these services this weekend. And we hate to miss, but we feel like it's important for us to be there to support the family during this time, and especially during a loss like this. Just tragic and sudden, unexpected. So keep us in prayers, and we'll be keeping the services here in prayer. We're going to try to be back for Sunday morning, but it's going to be really pushing it with the funeral being on Saturday. So just keep us in prayer. We'll get back as soon as we can. We'll be praying for you all, and you keep us in prayer. How many has an unspoken prayer request you'd like to bring to the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each and every one. Not only does he see them, but he cares about them. Amen. Brother Bram said he cares because you care. So if it's something that's important to you, it may not be important to somebody else, to your neighbor, to the person in the pew beside you. It may not be important to them, but if it's important to you and you care about it, then he cares about it. Amen. Brother Trevor, would you come tonight and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we approach your throne, Lord, and conscious, Lord, that we shouldn't even be able to do such, but through the grace that you shed abroad for us, Lord, through your death on the cross, to pave that way back for us to be in fellowship with you again. God, it feels so good. So wonderful, Lord, because I know each one of us have our failings, our trappings, things of the flesh that pull us down, but God, how thankful we are that you made that way. Lord, you're so good and so wonderful, so loving, Lord. We thank you so much. Lord, as we have some families, Lord, that have lost loved ones, Lord, we know, as my father-in-law said about Brother Danny, I don't feel sorry for him. Maybe I feel a little sorry for me to lose a friend like that. Lord, we understand, Lord, that you've given us a hope, that you've given us a resurrection. And so we're thankful, Lord. Father, comfort the hearts of those that have lost their loved ones, particularly this little boy, to find his father, Lord. How tragic and terrible that must be, Lord. And no doubt, but even having a hard time sleeping or many things like that can happen, Lord. So, Father, we pray that you would come and that you would comfort that young man, comfort the wife, comfort all the children, Lord. Be with the family there, Lord. To lose one so suddenly is always so difficult, Lord. So, Lord, we ask just a special portion of grace, Lord, to just go forth and be with them, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit just comfort and be very near, Lord, as your word says in Psalms 34, that you're there with those of a broken spirit, Lord. Father, we ask that you'd be here in the service, Lord God, that you would be with us, speak to our hearts in whatever way that you can, Lord, that you have led our pastor to use. Lord, I pray that it would be effectual and the word would go forth and accomplish the thing that it's sent to. Father, we look forward to the meetings this weekend, Lord. I pray that you would just use the gift that's in our brother Lily's life, that you would use it in very effectual, Lord, and that the hearts of the people would be blessed, Lord. Be with Brother Nathan and Sister Rebecca as they go, Lord. I hate to see them be gone, Lord. I'm sure it's difficult to leave when you have a guest minister coming in, but Father, go with them, be with them, and Lord, we know that you're in control of all things, and so we're so grateful, Lord, that we can rest completely in you. So Lord, anoint the service now in our hearts. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. The brothers will please come at this time.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I won't turn back. Well, I won't turn back. The cross before me, the world behind me, the cross on. The move is on, my Lord, the move is on. there's a light in the window, and the tables spread in splendor. I know someone's standing by the open door. Oh, and I can see the crystal river. Lord, I know I must be near forever, 'cause I've never been this homesick before. Oh, see the bright light shine. It's just about home time. I believe it is tonight. I can see my Father standing at the door. My family gathered, those sweet faces all familiar, but no one's old, no one's feeble anymore. Oh, sometimes my lonesome heart gets to crying. Oh, I feel like spreading my wings for flying, 'cause I've never been this homesick. Tonight, oh, see the bright light shine. It's just about home time. Oh, and I can see my Father standing at the door. This old world's been a wilderness. Oh, but I'm ready for deliverance. Oh, and Lord, I've never spread in splendor. I see someone's standing by that open door. I can almost see that crystal river. Oh, church, I believe we must be getting near forever, 'cause I've never been this homesick before. Why don't we stand and sing it tonight? Faces, they're so familiar, but no one's old or feeble anymore. Sometimes my lonesome heart gets to crying. Oh, church, I feel like spreading my wings for flying, 'cause I've never been this home.
you feel tonight? Amen. When we look around, we see everything that's transpiring. We must recognize it's got to be just about homegoing time. Amen. God bless you. Turn with me again tonight, if you would, to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and beginning with verse 16. I told Brother Furman, I said, you pray for me tonight. This may be one of those services where I'm glad I'm getting in the car and going to Minnesota after service. So, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. Amen. Let's bow our heads together again tonight. With the help of the Lord, we'll look at this thought of spiritual abuse again. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we begin to look into your word, Lord, I just ask that you'd continue to be with us as we go down this line of thought that you placed upon my heart. I ask that you'd be with me, Father. Help me to get myself completely out of the way to where it wouldn't be my own thoughts or opinions, but to where, Lord, you could just lead us and guide us, Lord, down the, as we look at these quotes and scriptures. May you just walk amongst us tonight, Father, so that we could say as those that walked on the road with you to Emmaus, didn't our hearts burn within us? Lord, as we look into the quotes and scriptures, Lord, may it just set our souls on fire. May it give us a greater desire to serve you than we ever have. May it give us a greater desire to stand for this message than we ever had. May it give us a greater desire to love one another than we ever have, Father. Lord, may you just come tonight. May your Holy Spirit, Lord, do something supernatural in the way of encouraging those that would hear, Father. And Lord, it's not just enough for you to anoint up here on the platform, Lord, nor is it just enough for you to anoint the word. We recognize that it's anointed. But Lord, may you anoint the ears and the hearts of the hearers so that, Lord, it would not just fall on dead ears, but Father, to where it would quicken hearts, Father, and give us courage and strength for the journey that we're in. We recognize, Lord, as we see so many situations coming against the bride of Jesus Christ in this age and turmoil on every hand. Father, we recognize that Satan is coming in like a flood, but we also recognize that you promised that when he did that, you would raise up a standard against him. So, Lord, we can receive encouragement from your word. And Lord, may you do that again for us tonight. May you be with those, Lord, that are sitting here tonight. Lord, maybe they have needs, maybe they have circumstances, maybe they have decisions that they're facing. Lord, may you just come and encourage them and lay on their heart, Lord, what you would have them to do and what direction you would have them to go. Father, I pray in Jesus Christ's name. And the church said, amen. Amen. God bless you richly. You can be seated tonight. As we've been looking at this thought for a couple of weeks, and when we looked at it initially, we were looking at the different types of abuse that Satan tries to attack with. We recognize that there's many different forms of abuse. There's verbal abuse and emotional abuse and mental abuse, physical abuse. There's sexual abuse and even spiritual abuse we've been looking at. And we were looking at these different types of abuse and how they affect people and how they kind of twist a person's sense of reality of how things should be when they've been in a circumstance like that, whether it's a family circumstance, a school circumstance, a church circumstance, whatever it would be, that if they've had a perverted view of how things should be because of some form of abuse, and they've got the wrong idea of how a family should be or the wrong idea of how a church should be or whatever, they just look at that as though it would be normal because it's all they've ever known. But when we begin to go back and look at the scriptures and the message, we recognize that that's not the way it should have been at all. And last week, we began to look at the family and how that the wife and the husband, the position that they should both be in, and the headship in the home, how that God placed headship in the home, because Paul said he was speaking of the husband and wife, but he was really showing a mystery of the relationship between Christ and the church, because it paralleled so exactly. And we find that the church, he said that just as Christ loved the church, the husband should love the wife. That's a pretty tall order. As Christ served the church, that the husband should serve the wife. But then he also turned that around and said, and as the church is supposed to have a head, and that head is Christ, so the husband should be the head of the home, the head of the wife, and also that the wife should respect the husband. And we find, if we begin to look at that, that really, if we would apply that in the way that the scripture said, there would be a lot less torn up homes and things like that. But it's many times we want our will or our opinions or our ideas or our personal thought, and you begin to talk to people, as I've said before, and many times around the message, people will argue with you. They'll say, well, the message is my absolute, and somebody else will turn around and say, no, the Bible is my absolute, and they'll actually argue and divide over that. When I don't understand, because for me it takes both of them to be an absolute to me, because without a prophet I didn't really understand what this book said, and without this book I really couldn't vindicate and tell you who Brother Branham was. So it takes both of them for me to be a perfect absolute, like Brother Branham talked about the front sight and the back sight. But we also recognize that there's many who, no matter how much they would argue one side or the other, whatever they believed it would be, if you really get down and begin to talk to them about scriptures and quotes and about what we believe and things like that, you'll find very quickly that their opinion is actually their absolute. Not the Bible, not the message, because when you show them what the Bible and the message says, many times they'll say, well, but we believe, or, well, our pastor says, or this certain family member of ours believes it this way, and that's how they taught us. So you're making your opinion, or your pastor, or your family member, or whatever it would be, your absolute, but I don't believe we should set up anybody's opinion as an absolute, but the Word of God should be the absolute. Questions and answers on Hebrews part 3, 1957. Brother Branham says, if a family ever loses its respect for the family, the children loses the respect to the parents, that family's tore to pieces. He said, if a church ever loses respect of its pastor, why it that church is gone. So we recognize he's paralleling this. The family with the respect between the children and the parents, and the church with the respect between the church and the pastor. And he's paralleling this for some reason. So we begin to recognize not only is there a headship in the home, but there's also a headship in the church. And many times, even with headship in the church, either we find that the people refuse to come under headship, or as we've been talking on spiritual abuse, the pastors begin to abuse that headship and try to set themselves up as a lord or a dictator or something like that over the people, and try to project to them legalistic ideas of man-made opinions or man-made ideas, and if you don't come under that, then they're going to expose you before the church and all that. I would like to say tonight, that is garbage. That is anti word, and our prophet never taught us that, and the Bible never taught us that. Never taught us to come under somebody's man-made ideas, but to make the Word our ultimate. The Word is our ultimate. Now, with that God also places leaders in the church. He places pastors. He places deacons. He places men that are there to keep order in the church and to lead the church. Don't get scared. I'm going to read you quotes tonight to back up all of this, so don't get too scared on me tonight. But we also recognize that just as in the home, remember what Brother Branham said in the quote we looked at a few weeks ago. He said that, that the husband is the head of the home, but the lady asked him the question and questions and answers said, well, what if my husband tells me that I have to cut my hair or wear pants or that I can't go to church? He said, then you have a higher head. So as long as your husband, now me and a brother was talking, or a couple of brothers the other day, and we were talking that even if a spouse, because we talked about there in Romans 7, how it talked about the unbelieving spouse and how that the believing husband could sanctify the unbelieving wife, or vice versa, the believing wife could sanctify the unbelieving husband. How? By that life and that testimony that they lived before them and projected before them, they could see something real and actually come under conviction and get right with God because of that. So he said, if they're willing to depart, willing to remain and not depart, then stay with them and be an example to them. But yet we also find that when that spouse, if the husband would try to come and tell you something absolutely contrary to the scripture, then you have a higher head than the spouse. You have a higher head even than the husband to stay with what the word said. That doesn't just go for the home, that goes for the church as well. God has placed men in headship over the church, but if the man in the headship of the church tries to tell you something contrary to the word, don't you just say, well, that's what the pastor said, so I guess that's all right. You come under subjection to the word. I'm not here tonight to get you to come under subjection to Nathan Bryant, but I am here to try to get you to come under subjection to the word. Amen. And so a husband, God sets up a man. Brother Branham said there has to be a shepherd. There has to be somebody to lead the sheep. So just as God sets up a husband to lead the house, he sets up a pastor to lead the church. But yet it should be a scriptural way of doing it. If it's contrary to the scripture, then you just set that seed out, spit it out, and lay it on the side and just see how it goes. And if it winds up looking like you're eating more seeds than you're eating bread or eating word or eating the voice of God, then I would just say, well, goodness gracious, I'm tired of spitting out seeds. You have a right to do that, you know. Whether it's me or anybody else, you have a right to do that. Amen. And so we look at this, and you know, a brother was telling me, he said, well, even if a brother's an unbeliever, though, and he's telling the family things that are not contrary to the scripture, they should still come under that. I said, absolutely. Even though he's maybe not a believer, even though he's a sinner, I don't know if there's anybody in that situation here tonight or not, but if you are and you've got a spouse, your husband's not a believer, and you are, and he's encouraging you, go on to church, serve the Lord, do these things, then you come under subjection to him as long as what he's saying is correct with the word. Some of you children, you say, well, my parents aren't serving the Lord the way they should be, and they tell me to take out the trash, and bless God, I don't want to. They're not serving the Lord. Why should I obey them? Taking out the trash is not contrary to the word of God. So you go ahead and serve them with anything that's not contrary to the word of God. You wives, go ahead and serve those husbands, absolutely, as long as it's not contrary to the word of God. And then when it's contrary to the word, you say, I'm sorry, I can't do that because it's contrary to what my Lord says. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. You mean a minister is supposed to actually labor in the word and doctrine? And if he does, we're supposed to count him worthy of double honor? You know, around the message, used to be all a minister was good for was to marry you and bury you and baptize you. And now a lot of them won't even let you do that. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. You can amen the word with me. You can get quiet. It don't matter either way. It's going to be the same thing tonight. So you just decide how you want to respond. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith that thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Now, Titus chapter 1, verse 5, for this cause left I thee in Crete, this is Paul speaking to Titus, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain deacons in every city. Oh, he didn't say that, did he? And ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. Taking sides with Jesus, 1962. Paul established churches in different parts of the country. Each one of these churches, he left someone who was in order. Now, who did he leave that was in order? I'm going to read it in a minute, but you just bear with me. Who did he leave that was in order over these churches? Did he leave a deacon in charge of it? Did he leave some man that was just a good businessman that could get up and turn on a tape, or that could get up and introduce a guest minister that was visiting from out of town? Or did he just introduce some man that, you know, he was just the richest guy in the church, so they thought if he could handle his finances, he could surely handle the church, and they just put him in there? Or because he was the only guy in the family that wasn't so busy that he could actually, you know, do things around the church and things like that. So they said, well, we'll just throw that guy in over there. Who did he leave who was in charge of the church?
Brother Branham says a man that was trustworthy, a man that was known as a pastor, shepherd. Now, I know there's churches popping up all around the message, in the states, out of the states, under the states, above the states, and everywhere you can think of, that this isn't popular anymore. They don't want a pastor. They want a deacon, or they want a businessman, or they want some intellectual, somebody that can get up and give them a nice speech or something like that. But they don't want a pastor. But this is what the word said. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flocks. Now he's encouraging the elders. Now you, God has established you. Paul and different ones have gone around and set up these elders over the churches. And he says, John here, or Peter rather, being also an elder, he says, let me tell you, I want you to establish these things as God has established you to do that. And he said, but don't be a lord over the people. Don't be a lord over God's heritage, but be an example to the flock. Not an overlord, not somebody to dictate to everybody, you know, every little thing, every little detail of their life, but to be an example before the flock. Amen. Oh my. Hebrews chapter 5, part 1, 1957. I believe in the supreme authority of the local assembly. Yes, let each church be its own, choose its pastors, its deacons, its whatever it is. And then that way, the man in there has no bishop over him. The Holy Spirit wants to speak something to that church. They don't have to ask anybody about whether they could do this or do that. Hey, man, I just want to say tonight, you know, as a head of your home, I'm going to pick on Brother Jimmy tonight. As a head of his house, Brother Jimmy doesn't have to come and ask me if he can paint his house blue or green or purple or pink or whatever color that Sister Patty tells him to paint it. Amen. Now, as the head of his house, he has the right to tell her, no, this is my house. I go and I work and I pay these bills and I don't want it to be painted pink. But, as his friend, I would encourage him, Brother Jimmy, she's there more than you are. And a house where mom is happy, everybody's happy. So, you know, it's not contrary to the word. And, you know, if she's not trying to usurp authority and stomp her foot or something like that, let her paint the house whatever color she wants it. Oh, I thought some sisters would amen for sure on that. Let her decorate the house however she wants it. You get you a man cave in the garage or the guest bedroom or something. If you want to hang deer antlers and camouflage from the roof to the floor, you do whatever you want. But the rest of the house, let her decorate. Let her put flowers and potpourri and whatever she wants. Amen. She's the queen of that castle and you're the king. Let her decorate it for you. Amen. Let her share her pictures on Instagram with their friends. They love that. You know, that's not contrary to the word. You know, in the message, there's so many things that, you know, that we can't do that, you know, sometimes we sit and we look and, well, you know, Sister so-and-so did that. And I just don't know. I don't feel like that's right with the word. And if you're not careful, you'll begin to look at all the things that you can't do, which is just set in order because God's trying to protect you from something, from you getting in trouble. And then, you know, we get this legalistic idea on top of that. And then we try to add all these other things that wasn't never in the word to begin with. That, well, you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't wear that color and you shouldn't wear this material and you shouldn't wear this brand and you shouldn't shop over here and you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't go there and you shouldn't spit on this side of the sidewalk and all these things that wasn't never in the word. That if you're not careful, you'll let man-made legalism sap the joy of your salvation. Amen. But we're supposed to be a happy people. Hey man, God didn't tell us to sit on a stump and look like we was just, the whole world hated us. You know, he wants us to be happy. He wants us to have joy. And there's so many things as believers that we can do that can give us joy. Don't let some man-made dogma come and rob that from you. Hey man, you just stay obedient to the word. Amen. But, you know, Brother Jimmy doesn't have to come crawling to me and say, now, Brother Nathan, I'm going to, you know, my old truck has got a lot of miles on it and you know, different things going wrong with it. I'm feeling that I really need to go out and buy me another truck. And you know, what, should I get a Ford or should I get a Chevy or should I get a Dodge or well, should I get some rice burner or what should I get? You know, and he doesn't have to come and ask me. Amen. He's the head of his house. I'm not the head of his house. I would be daresent, no matter how much I would want to recommend a Chevy to him. I would be daresent to go in and tell him, Brother Jimmy, you need to get you a Chevy. Because that's his choice. He gave me a thumbs up, though, so he's a Chevy man, too, I know. Brother Layton likes Fords. Amen. I'm not going to go to his house and tell him, bless God, me and Brother Jimmy, we prefer a Chevy or a GMC. You need to forget that old Ford. It's his house. He can do what he wants. He's the head of his house. Amen. Sister Layton can paint his house whatever color she wants. They don't have to come and ask me. And as a pastor, amen. Now, God is ultimately the head of his home. But God set him in a position of authority of that home. And he reports to God. And Sister Layton reports to him and on down the chain there. The children and the grandchildren and so on. You understand? And so if there's headship in the home, then there's also a headship in the church. And ultimately, God is the head of any church, whatever it would be. If they'll yield to him, God should be the head of the church. But yet God places leaders that are the head of that church and are the head of God's home or God's house or whatever it would be. And a pastor shouldn't have to crawl to anybody else and ask them, now, Brother Layton, is it okay if I have Brother so-and-so in? Or Brother Jimmy, do you think it'd be okay if I play this certain tape? And you think I should play it this long or that long? Or you think I should play half of it or all of it or two-thirds of it? Or what do you think I should do? You know, as the head of the house, I have that right. Amen. God placed me in that position. Now, just as God with the home, when Brother Jimmy makes a decision to let Sister Patty paint it whatever color she wants or buy whatever brand of vehicle she wants or use the money any way she wants, when he makes that decision, God will never hold Sister Patty accountable for Brother Jimmy's decision, but he will hold Brother Jimmy accountable for Sister Patty's decisions. So there's some responsibilities that go along with being head. It's not all just bells and whistles and roses. But there's some responsibility that comes along with that. And as the pastor of a church, men that God has set in that position of authority, he will hold them responsible for the decisions they make. And they should be in a place where they can yield to see what God would have for that church, because God is never going to hold somebody sitting on the pew responsible for what the pastor decides, but he will hold that pastor responsible for it. He said they don't have to ask anybody whether they could do this or do that. It's the individual in contact with the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to say that doesn't just go for pastors, but that should go for you and your home. Amen. You shouldn't have to run to me and ask me whether you should move to New Albany or Jeffersonville or Sellersburg. You know, there's some decisions that you have a one-on-one relationship, or at least you should, with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And don't place some man as a substitute between you and the Holy Spirit. The Bible said there's one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. And we recognize now that doesn't throw away with what Brother Branham said about godly counsel. That doesn't throw away advice. But ultimately, you have to get a direct connection between you and Jesus. Amen. Show me, he says, by the Bible, what's greater in the Bible than a local elder to a local church. That's right. Yes, sir. The sovereignty of the local church. Each church in itself. Now, brotherhood, that's wonderful. Amen. All churches ought to be in a brotherhood like that together. But the sovereignty of the local church. Amen. See, you know, people have a tendency, I guess it's just our human nature. Brother Branham told us to walk down the middle of the road, and a man made fun of him and said, oh, you're getting a wreck doing that. He said, oh, you misunderstood me. He said, this is a one-way street. Amen. This is a one-way street, and all the trash washes off to the left or to the right, but the real true bride of Jesus Christ will be walking down the middle. But it's so easy to get unbalanced and go out on one limb and lean this way, or go out on another limb and lean that way, but the real true bride of Jesus Christ will walk the middle of the road. Now, there's some people that they get so scared of outside influence or being deceived or whatever it would be, that they isolate themselves away from everybody else and won't fellowship with nobody else, are for no more. more, if you don't go to our own little church, or you don't go to this, or you don't see this the way that I see it, I'm going to isolate myself from you and draw a circle and draw you out. Brother Branham never taught us that. He taught us to draw the circle bigger. He taught us we should have a brotherhood and have a fellowship. But then there'll be others that where instead of leaning towards isolationism, they'll lead towards organizationalism, and they'll say, well, you know, brother so-and-so, he teaches this certain doctrine a certain way, and you know, it's been all over the message. Don't get the idea tonight that I'm trying to isolate individuals or to pick on individual brothers or churches. This has been all around the message, all around the world. Men will rise up and they'll teach a certain pet doctrine, and they'll see it a certain way, and there'll be a following of men that'll rise up behind them, and then you'll have little satellite churches popping up all over the globe. Oh, we follow brother so-and-so, and we follow his teachings. I follow Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Amen. There's also another man I follow. I follow brother Branham as he followed Christ. Amen. Because, you know, if I was in Paul's day and he said, look, follow me as I follow Christ, I'd say, look, ultimately I'm following Jesus, but there's a messenger in the age that is telling me the very thoughts of what Jesus is thinking, and I'm going to follow Paul as he follows Christ. Amen. So in this age, I can say the same thing. They can make fun of us for following a man, but everybody is following some man. Everybody, I don't care who you are, you're following some man. There's some that are following Trump. There's some that are following the Pope. There's some that are following men down in other countries. There's some that are following religious leaders and political leaders and business leaders or whatever it would be. But it's okay to follow a man as long as you're following the right man. Amen. If you would have been in Egypt, you could have followed Pharaoh, or you could have followed Moses. One would have been leading absolutely to death, and one would have been leading absolutely to life. So it's okay to follow a man. Just make sure that man is leading you in the right direction. There were some that followed Noah. And there was a small group. They were in the minority, but yet they followed Noah, and they were granted life. And there was others that followed the scoffers. And what did he get them but death? It's been so in every age. Oh my. So we find that these situations rise up, and some brother, he'll rally around a certain doctrine, whatever it would be. We've had dozens of them pop up around the message, and he'll focus on whatever it is, polygamy or parousia or two lords or thunders or return or whatever it would be. He'll get one doctrine that he's focused in on, and he'll begin to look at that, and every time he preaches, that's all he preaches, that's all he focuses on. The people in his group have key words that they get excited about, and from that there'll be brothers that, you know, they're looking for some new life. And they'll get attracted to that, and they'll begin to follow that, and they'll say, you know, look, I'm a pastor too, but I'm going to follow this man. And so he kind of becomes a bishop over all of them, and they begin to follow him and do whatever he does. And Brother Bam said, look, brotherhood is okay. Brotherhood is wonderful, but it should be the sovereignty of the local church. Amen. When I go to study a sermon for the church, or I go to pick a tape, I don't pull up 20 other brothers' websites and say, what's brother so-and-so teaching, and what's brother so-and-so, what series is he on, and what tapes is brother so-and-so playing, and what guest ministers has brother so-and-so had, so that I can figure that out. I go straight to the source. Oh my, well, we could get in a lot of trouble tonight, but you just pray for me, whatever the Lord wants. I just don't want it to be something Nathan Bryant wants to say. Amen. There's some things that I want to say, and I realize, no, that was Nathan Bryant, not the Lord, and I try to hold those back. But then there's other things where he keeps saying, no, that's not you. Go ahead and say that one. So, amen. You just pray for me that I'll be able to keep that way. Hebrews chapter 7, part 2, 1957. He says, that's the way he runs his church. That's the way it is in the Bible. That's the order of the Bible. That's the sovereignty of the local church. The pastor is the head. That's right. Amen. 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 So I don't call down to Florida or Louisiana or Tennessee or down to Africa or India or somewhere and say, hey, brother so-and-so, what do you think it's okay if I play this tape tonight? Or, oh, okay, no, you think I should play that one? Okay, well, what about Sunday night? You think I should preach on this subject? Oh, you're preaching on this other subject over here. Oh, okay. Okay, well, maybe I'll do that. The sovereignty of the local church, he said. Amen. Amen. Because let me just be honest with you. There's wonderful brothers in those states. There's wonderful brothers in those countries. But they're dealing with situations in their congregations. And there may be a situation in their congregation that they're having to hammer and hammer and hammer, and we may not even have that situation here. And people come and say, well, Brother Nathan, Brother so-and-so over here, he's preaching this, and Brother so-and-so over there, he's playing that, and Brother so-and-so over here, he just had this brother in. That's wonderful. They're maybe dealing with things that needs to be done and said and played or whatever it is, but we're dealing with situations in our church. Amen. Maybe there's a situation in one of your homes, and you sit the children down and you say, now look, children, now look, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of this situation. I'm tired of the arguing and bickering. I'm tired of this, and I'm tired of the way that this one's doing and this one's treating one another. And we're just going to sit down and have a family devotions and a family altar, and we're just going to pray. I feel like, you know, satanic spirits are trying to attack our house and cause divisions and cause arguments and frustrations and contentions. And we're just going to pray and place this before the Lord and plead the blood of Jesus Christ over it. And you know, we're gonna do all these things scripturally. And, you know, maybe the Holy Spirit just come and move in a mighty way, and you pick up the phone, you say, Brother Arnie, you won't believe just what just happened at my house. Here's what you need to do. You need to sit Sister Alice down and tell her this, this, and this, and read this scripture to her, and read that quote to her, and pray this prayer. He'd say, we don't even have that problem in our house, brother. Oh, no, you need to do it. You won't believe the way God moved over here. We would think that was ridiculous. But that's what a lot of brothers do with churches. Well, Brother so-and-so is doing it, and he's popular. Or Brother so-and-so is doing it, he's got a big ministry or a big following. So I guess I'll just hop on the bandwagon. There's only one bandwagon that I want to hop on. That's the train that's bound to glory. Amen. Questions and Answers, 1954. The pastor is always the head of the church. The pastor is always. That's God's elder. In organization, you have to come through the bishop. Now, the Bible, there's no higher order in the Bible than the elder of the church. Just tell me where it is. This isn't Nathan Bryant's words. These are William Branham's words. Amen. He says there's no higher order in the Bible for the church than the elder, which is the pastor. He's the highest order of the Bible. Oh, Brother Nathan, you're just saying that because you're a pastor and you want to pat yourself on the back. No, I would be scared to death to say that if it was just because I'm a pastor. I'm saying that because the prophet of God said it. And I realize about 60% of the message people absolutely do not believe this. And if you read this to them, they would laugh you in the face and say, no, you'll never prove that to me. But what are they doing? They're contradicting what he said, not what you said or I said or Joel down the street said or whatever. This is what a prophet of God said, and this is what he said the Bible order was. You say, oh no, Brother Nathan, a prophet is a higher office. When it comes to visions and revelations of the word, absolutely you're right. But when it comes to the sovereignty of the local church, if you believe what Brother Branham in the Bible said, you're absolutely wrong. Well, I thought it might get quiet in here tonight, but that's okay. There's no higher order in the Bible for the church than the elder, which is the pastor. He's the highest order of the Bible. Again, church order, 1958. The pastor must be a man that has got a very humble way about him, but not too humble. But what he could be like the Lord Jesus when he's seen wrong going on in the church. He plaited ropes and ran them out of the church. And now the church of God is the highest of judgment. And the pastor is the highest order in the church. The elder is the highest thing in the apostolic church outside of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings his message straight to the elder, and the elder gives it to the people. Amen. Now, most of us have heard this church, this tape for years. Most of us heard this tape at least once a year for years. But, you know, this was never the quote that was being focused on. There were a lot of other quotes and a lot of other paragraphs that were being emphasized on, but I never heard this quote right here emphasized very much, but it's still in there. And it's after the seals, 1963, for any naysayer or whatever it would be or criticizer. So I believe what he said. And I believe he said what he meant, and he meant what he said. And people tell me, don't tell me what he meant, tell me what he said. And I read them quotes like this, and they look at me like I'm from some other planet. They look at me like I'm an idiot and like I'm deceived and just a spiritual reject. And all I'm doing is reading what the very prophet of God said. Amen. If God be with us, then where is all the miracles, 1961? You can blame Brother Layton for this one. Brother Layton texted me this one this week, and I said, goodness gracious. And I told him, I said, if you don't mind, I'm going to use that Wednesday night because it comes right in along with the service. So How can he be the same yesterday, today, and forever and still divine healing gone? How can the Bible set in order first apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors for a vindication that the gospel still lives and God sends them right among us and we turn our back on it? God doesn't fail. It's the people's failed. Now, if people want to get mad and they want to accuse me of something, just accuse me of trying to fulfill what the prophet of God said. Amen. He said, now, if divine healing, if the Holy Spirit doesn't move like it is and it's all that is gone, if really the days of miracles are past, as many of the denominations were trying to project to him then, oh, God doesn't do that anymore. That was just for the apostles. That was just for those in the upper room. He said, well, what about Paul? What about Timothy? What about Titus? What about all those that was after the apostles that God was doing the same things on? Oh, no, that was just for this. That was for some other day. He said, if Jesus Christ is still the same yesterday, today, and forever, then divine healing shouldn't have lost its power. And he said, if he ordained these five ministering gifts in the church, and then God sends them amongst us, and we turn our back on it. He said, it's not God that failed, it's the people's that's failed. Now, I recognize there's been a lot of false around the message. There's been false teachers and false preachers and false prophets and false doctrines and false dogmas and false. But you know what? Every one of those false was a copied, perverted substitute of a true somewhere. Because all the devil does is tries to pervert the original thing of God. Amen. You remember even when Jesus, God in the flesh, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, he went out and he picked 12 disciples and he said, I haven't lost a one of you except the very son of perdition. And he had 12 men that he sent out, and then he sent out 70 more, and they were preaching and teaching and casting out devils. And 12, the very 12 that he picked to be right there alongside of him, close with him, and you know, eat with him and sleep beside him and drink with him and camp with him and fish with him and all that he did, going and raising the dead and healing the sick and casting out the money changers out of the synagogues and delivering the demon possessed and walking across the stormy seas and delivering the addicted and the tormented and the prostitutes and the sinners. And these men walk right along beside him, and one of them was a devil. And then people look at men like Leo and Gene and say, well, if he was really a prophet of God, he would have never let that happen. You better read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John again before you start making too big of accusations. Read a few scriptures about Judas. Some of these things had to take place to fulfill scriptures. Judas absolutely had to be there to fulfill Zechariah's prophecy. But people, blind leaders of the blind, they fall away because of things like that. But you know, I figure 11 good ones to one bad one is pretty good odds. And many times it's always the bad egg or the squeaky wheel or the different ones like that that get the most focus. You know, whenever there's a cop shooting or something like that, some cop goes out and shoots some teenage boy, he'll get publicity all around the world on Fox News and CNN and MSNBC and video footage and trial footage and quotes from people on the scene. But one of them, you know, crawl up underneath a car that's on fire and save somebody and see if it hits the news. One of them risked their lives to go into a bar where there's a fight and rescue some men that are getting beat half to death and see if it hits the news. We can recognize that in the natural, but what about when it comes to the spiritual? Of course, the bad eggs are going to get all the publicity, but there's some real true men of God as well. Church of God, or Church Age Book rather, page 39. He said, now I want to say that I believe in leadership, but it is not the leadership of men I believe in. Now watch this quote right here. He brings the balance of this together to really explain a balance. Because if we're not careful, we'll fall so completely under the leadership of men that we set up a dictator or a pope or a bishop or somebody over us, and they begin to absolutely tell us things that, well, you should do this and you shouldn't do that and whatever, and no quote or scripture to produce to go along with it, but just their opinion. And so if you lean completely under the leadership of men, then you're going off wrong that way. But then if you do completely away with the leadership of men, then you've thrown away part of the word as well. So thank God for a prophet in our age that could tie the loose ends together. Listen to how he describes this. He says, now I want to say that I believe in leadership, but it is not the leadership of men I believe in. I believe in the leadership of the Holy Ghost coming through the Word. I believe also that God has set men in the church, men who are gifted by the Spirit, and they will keep the church in order. I believe that. I believe also that the church is ruled over by men that God sends to take charge, but that rule is by the Word. So that is not men really ruling, but the Spirit of God, for the Word and the Spirit are one. Amen. So what is the difference? How can we not believe in the leadership of men, but yet believe in being under the rule of men? It's because, is that man ruling by the Word, or is he ruling by his own opinion? Is he ruling by what the prophet really said? You remember when Micah the prophet, when they went down and Ahab was going to go and Jehoshaphat there to the battle of Ramoth-Gilead, and they said, you know, let's go down and consult. And there was 400 prophets there. And these men weren't false prophets. They were anointed prophets for the land of Israel. And they were there and they were under this anointing. They came from the school of the prophets that Elijah and Elisha walked by there. And here these men come, and Brother Branham breaks into vision, and he says that, you know, these different ones begin to come up, spirits begin to come up to God, and he said, look, I need to go down and fulfill the prophecy of Elijah that the dogs would lick Ahab's blood. And he said, I need to have a way that we can do this. Of course, the foreknowledge of God already knew what it would be, but just as things have to go in motion in your life, what's going on earth, God is echoing in heaven. And so a lying spirit comes up before the throne of God, and he said, you let me go down and be a lying spirit on the mouth of these prophets. And he said, you go and do it. And so they begin to prophesy, go up and take the land. The land is ours. God gave this land to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, our forefathers. Go take the land. It's ours. And Jehoshaphat said, you know, well, that sounds scripture. That sounds good. I understand, you know, they are bringing in some quotes there that I can kind of see their point of view. But just as a spiritual man, you know, it seemed like something on the inside just wasn't ticking just right along with what these men were saying. And he said, don't you have just one more somewhere? And Ahab said, oh, yeah, I got one more, but I hate him. He said, oh, don't let the king say so. He said, bring him up. And Micah comes up, and they said, oh, my, what should we do? He said, go on and take it. He said, no, I want you to speak the truth to me. He said, well, let me go and pray and see if God will give me a vision. And Brother Branham said, when he did and God gave him a vision, God speaks to Micah the prophet, and he says, now, he said, I see all of Israel scattered like sheep with no shepherd. Now, Brother Branham said, before this man would go and give this prophecy, he went back and checked it with what Elijah had already said. Right. Well, glory. Amen. I want to say tonight that a lot of ministers, a lot of lay people, a lot of deacons, a lot of sisters on Facebook, a lot of different ones would have been a whole lot better off if they went and checked what they were saying to see if it matched what the prophet Elijah said. Now, I'm not talking about Elijah back there on, you know, back there in Israel. I'm talking about our Elijah for this day. They'd be a lot better off if they'd go back and see if they could find a balance in what the prophet Elijah was saying in this age before they went and gave forth their prophecy. Said, oh my, I see Israel scattered like sheep. But he went first to check it with what the prophet had said, the major prophet for the age. He went back and checked it to make sure. Now, is what I'm saying lining up exactly what the prophet said? And when he recognized that he did, he goes and he gives forth this prophecy. You say, why would he have to do that when he had a direct connection? Brother Branham said, those men came to him and said, Brother Branham, if you'll just come and tell us that the angel of the Lord told you to baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and not in titles, said, then we'll believe it. He said, if that angel came and told me different, I wouldn't believe him. Now, a lot of us, you know, dragged an old Pentecostal spirit over into the message. And, you know, if we think somebody is spiritual or something sounds good or makes us click our heels and shout a little bit with the joy of the Lord, we think, oh, my, that sounds great. Let's go do it. You realize with that spirit, you would have been following right after Ahab on the Ramoth-Gilead? It's not always what tickles the ears. It's not always what makes us happy, but it's go back and see what the Word said about it. Oh, my, Brother Bram said, if that angel told me anything contrary to what was written already here, I wouldn't believe it. Amen. Right. Amen. I thank God that he felt that way about it. Amen. I thank God that Micah checked his vision with the original word before he went forth from it. What is it? He said, by that rule is by the word. So that is not men really ruling, but the Spirit of God, for the word and spirit are one. I know I've said it a lot lately, but I'm just going to say it again. The Holy Spirit will not lead you contrary to what this says. I spoke with the brother on the phone the other night, and he was telling me some things he felt led to do. And I was as polite as I could be on the phone with him, because I didn't feel led to be any other way, or I would have just told him plainly. But I thought when I got off the phone, you know, that's really sweet and it's really nice, but it's contrary to what the word said. And I don't care how much somebody comes and says, well, the Holy Spirit led me to do this, and I believe it should be this way, and I think it should be that way. If it's contrary to this, you'll never convince me that it was the Holy Spirit that led you to do it. He won't lead you to something contrary to his word. Amen. God's not going to speak out of both sides of his mouth and say, now, Brother Layton, it's okay for you to do this, but Brother Nathan, don't you do that. He's not going to say, now, Brother Layton, now you go and you believe this way, but Brother Nathan, don't you go and do that. No, we all have the same Bible. We all have the same message. Now, God might lead you to a certain circumstance. He might tell Brother Layton, you go preach at this one church, and Brother Nathan, you go over here, and Brother Layton, you go fellowship over there. I'm not talking about things like that. I realize that God can lead us all individually, but when it comes to a decision, he's not going to lead us contrary to his word. Well, praise the Lord. You know, Brother Trevor was talking the other night, and he was talking about that sister that was demon-possessed, and every time they'd try to take her and baptize her in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that demon would react. You know, I bet he wouldn't care if they tried to baptize her in titles. But there's something about that name that the devil just hates. Why? Because there's power in that name. Brother Bram said they went into that camp there, and those witch doctors were raising that table off the floor and just putting a curse on it and all these things. And he said he walked over to it and he said, in the name of high heavens, come down. Didn't do nothing. Said, in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, come down. Didn't do nothing. Oh my, didn't matter what name he would have called. He could have called Nathan Bryant's name, William Branham's name, Bill Layton's name, Jimmy Ard's name, anybody's name. Wouldn't have done nothing. But he said, in the name of Jesus Christ. And he said, the thing came down so hard it almost broke the legs off the table. See, there's still power in the name of Jesus Christ. There's not much power. I'll say it this way. There's not any power in the name of Nathan Bryant. Amen. Now, we may have authority as believers. There may be authority. You may, as the bride of Jesus Christ, be able to stand there and say, look, I'm a member of the bride of Jesus Christ. I have authority. But we don't have power. Amen. Church Age Book, page 93 again. He says, but see what was happening back there. Talking about in the first church age. That false vine was getting a hold, and it was teaching that rulership by man was right. It taught that the church had to be governed. It taught a control over the people, but instead of doing it God's way, they simply took authority and vested all spiritual power in their own hands and came out with a holy priesthood standing between God and the people. They went right back to the old Aaronic system. They became Antichrist, for they disposed of his mediatorship and imposed their own. He said God hated that. The Ephesians hated that, and any true believer will hate it too. He said we would have to be stone blind not to see that same thing at work all through the ages, and right now it is the worst of all. What it was organization that separated the people. God's people are supposed to be one. By one spirit are they all baptized into one body. And everyone is to be moved upon by the Holy Ghost. Now, when you get a system that, well, this brother, nobody else teaches this certain doctrine like him, and nobody else knows this like him, and nobody, you got to go through him to understand. You know, we heard when we first came into the message years ago, there was a man that approached my dad and said, you've got to hear me to understand what Brother Branham said. False teacher. False teacher. No doubt a good brother, no doubt good intentions, but his teaching was false. Amen. I don't need no mediator to explain it to me. Now, I recognize that there's men that God gives to bring out things and to inspire things and to put things together. But, you know, you don't have to come through me to get a revelation of who Brother Branham was. You don't have to come through me to get a revelation of what the seals were. There was already a man that came and did that. You don't have to come through me to understand the church ages. There was a man that already did that. Now, God might anoint me for specific things that you're going through, and he may be able to lead me to pull a quote from over here in 63 and one over in 56 that maybe you'd never thought of, and you think, oh, goodness gracious, I never saw it like that. That's exactly what I needed. But he'll never call me to re-reveal to you what's already been revealed. He'll never call me to reveal something to you that hasn't been revealed, because I'm not a prophet. And the word of the Lord comes to the prophets. And so I don't have to come here and say, now look, I'm going to go back and I'm going to reteach this to you, and I'm going to show you this and I'm going to show you that. I know Brother Branham explained this, but I'm just going to explain it a little bit better for you. And everybody in the message has got to come through me. That's back to this, what he's talking about. He said the Spirit was to be, everyone was to be moved upon by the Holy Ghost. But when we try to place somebody and say, well, you got to come through this man, or you got to come through our church, or you got to come through our doctrine, or you got to come through our way of seeing it, you've gone right back to the seeds of Catholicism. Amen. Oh my. Everyone is to be moved upon by the Holy Ghost. And everyone is to participate in the worship of God. But men wanted the preeminence. So they took over control, and bishops become archbishops. And with imposing titles, they passed the word of God and taught their own doctrines. They got the people to obey them until the time came that their way of worship did not in any way at all resemble the early days after Pentecost. Now let's just be honest with ourselves. There's a lot of message churches around all around the message that fit this paragraph right here. Their way of worship did not in any way resemble the early days of Pentecost. You walk in and begin to worship and praise the Lord, or cry out, or raise your hands, and we just like it real, real quiet and peaceful here. Brother Branham said, reminds me of an old morgue somewhere. He said, wherever Jesus was, there was a lot of noise. Said, this is the quietest place you'll ever be. Said, if you get over to heaven, they'll be singing and shouting and hosannas. If you go to hell, they'll be weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. I like what Brother Luke Gibson told him that one time. He got up and preached to that church, and they said, oh my. They said, Brother Luke's a little Pentecostal. He said, yep. He said, that's right. He said, but at least I'm two church ages ahead of you all. If we're going to be, you know, Can I take 3 minutes and just give you some basic ABC 1, 2, 3 of the message? What the prophet was supposed to do in this age was to come and turn our hearts back to the original Pentecostal fathers. Back to the original Pentecostal fathers. Now, the original Pentecostal fathers, they came staggering out of the upper room like drunk men, speaking in tongues, walking around. They thought they was drunk. They were so anointed by the Holy Spirit that even Paul, when he would walk by, and Peter and different ones, just their shadows walking by these people, the sick would begin to get up and walk. They would take handkerchiefs and aprons from the man of God's body, and people would be healed of demons and diseases and spirits and torments. So if we're going to be turned back to the original, then we should be able to see some of those things taking place in the church. That don't mean everybody's got to speak in tongues. That don't mean everybody's got to shout. That don't mean everybody's got to run the aisles. That don't mean everybody's going to dance. But if you're going to sit there for 15 years and the Holy Spirit's never going to move on you in any way, I have a hard time believing that your heart has been turned back to the original. You say, oh, I couldn't raise my hand. What would Sister So-and-so think? Oh, I'm not very emotional. I couldn't cry. I couldn't scream out. I couldn't do a lot of these things. But you know, then when your favorite sports team is winning, you're shouting up and down on the couch. Or when they're losing, you're crying, but you're not very emotional. Choosing of a Bride, 1965. It's too bad that we ever got away from the real leader that God left us to lead the church. He never sent state presbyters. He never sent a bishops, cardinals, priests, popes. He sent the Holy Ghost for the church to lead the church. Show us the Father, 1961. We listen to bishops and archbishops and cardinals and priests when we ought to be listening to the Holy Spirit. For that was what was given to lead the church. Christ is the mystery of God revealed, 1963. Don't you fail this. The body, therefore, cannot recognize any other headship but the Word. Because the head is connected with the body, and the head is the word, and it's the same word, one headship. So when someone tells you, well, bless God, God just led me to stay at home. I don't believe in going to church. He just led me. Then you've got a different headship than what this said. Because this said to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, even the more as we see the day approaching. Oh, the Holy Spirit's just leading me to isolate myself. Amen. No, he never. Let's just be honest. No, he never. Amen. You want about 25 pages of quotes for that? If you disagree with me, I'd love to give them to you. What is it? They asked Brother Branham in 1964. Said, oh, Brother Branham, said, would the tape services be sufficient? Said, we have no preacher where we live. And people have used that to exclude churches and to exclude ministers. And they didn't even read the whole quote to see what the actual question was. And then they didn't even read on the rest to see how he really answered it. He said, see how your children go. But he said, if there's a good little church going there that you disagree with on a few things, he said, if I couldn't get a whole loaf, I'd at least go and get a slice. He's talking about nominal churches. And most people scared to death to even enter a message church because they're afraid they'd be deceived. If they'd be really honest, what they would really say is, I'm afraid I'm not elect, because the elect can't be deceived. You say, Brother Nathan, you shouldn't say that. That affects my aunt or my uncle or my father-in-law or my brother-in-law or whatever. Well, I'm sorry, but this is our headship. The Word of God, one headship. He says, therefore, denominations and holy fathers and everything else is dead dung. Now, that's pretty plain. I'm glad he said that one and not me. Everything else is dead dung. There is one headship, that's Christ. The body only recognizes one thing, the Word. Again, Christ is the mystery of God revealed, 1963. Our headship is in heaven. I'm not going to Rome. I'm going to heaven when I die. See, the headship is in heaven. Oh, my. And I'm not going to India. I'm not going to Africa. I'm not going to Jeffersonville or Sellersburg or New Albany or Louisville when I die. I'm going to heaven. That's where my headship is. That's where my representation is. What's he saying? Our headship is where we're identified with. He said, I'm not going to Rome. He's not going to report to somebody in Rome. He's going to heaven, so he's going to report to somebody in heaven. He says again, Christ is the mystery. She can't recognize another headship. No, sir. There's no bishop, no nothing. She recognizes one headship. That's Christ. And Christ is the Word. He says, oh, my. I love that. I love it too. Amen. Abraham and his seed after him, 1961. The Holy Spirit was made tutor over the house of God, not some dominating bishop, not some overpowering organization, not some of these man-made theories. The child of God is to listen to the Holy Spirit, the writing of the Word, and the real child of God, the real son of Abraham. The real child of God, the real son of Abraham, will go back to what the Word said. Won't go back to mommy's opinion. Won't go back to daddy's opinion. Won't go back to some teacher's opinion or some pastor's opinion. They'll go right back to what did the original Word say. Amen. I love to talk to people about what the original Word said, but the problem is they usually want to bring in some extracurricular stuff. You know, well, we was taught this back in the Methodist church, and we was taught this over in the UPC, and Brother Bram said anything else but this, dead dung. Church Age Book, page 124. Instead of the straight Word of God, instead of the Spirit-filled men in the church who were led by Spirit-given revelation, there are now creeds and bylaws and the educated guesses of educated men. Amen. Goodness gracious. It seemed like he must have known some of these message preachers that we know, huh? Educated guesses of educated men. The problem is, instead of just following what the prophet said, we had a lot of theologians creep in around the message with theological ideas and educated guesses. And, well, I think he meant this, and I think it meant that, and I think so-and-so over here ties with so-and-so over here, and I think that he was wrong over here, and I think. You know what? Brother Bam said anything but this, dead dung. There are now creeds and bylaws and the educated guesses of educated men. Learning has taken the place of revelation. Reason has replaced faith. Program has replaced spontaneous praise in the Holy Ghost. It wasn't so from the beginning. The whole species has changed It has become a hybrid church. God help us. God help us. What did he say in the quote earlier? He said you'd have to be absolutely blind not to recognize that it's worse in this age than it's ever been. Elijah, 1953. What's the matter? You've substituted theology for the Holy Spirit. That's exactly right. You know, there's people right around this message doing the exact same thing. You know, there's brothers up in different states and things that they absolutely don't believe that you have to have an experience with God. You don't have to have an experience. You don't have to have a baptism of the Holy Ghost. You just have to intellectually accept the message. And if you can read their favorite quotes and say that you agree with them, then they'll deem that you have the Holy Ghost. They would have gave Judas the Holy Ghost back in Jesus' days. Because Judas could sit there and amen right along with the rest of them. And he was a wolf in sheep's clothing. He could sit right there and maybe shout just as hard as the rest of them did when that little boy got raised and healed that was epileptic there. Maybe he shouted harder than Peter or John or any of them. Didn't mean he had the Holy Ghost. He said you substituted theology for the Holy Spirit. That's exactly right. Amen. I don't believe in substitutes. I know in the message today we've got all kinds of substitutes for all kinds of things. Substitutes for the Holy Spirit and substitutes for church and substitutes for Sunday schools and substitutes for the Word, substitutes for reading your Bible, substitutes for everything you can think of. But why would I take a substitute when Brother Bram said the Pentecostal sky is full of the real thing? I don't want to substitute theology or man's opinions or ideas for the Holy Spirit. Just give me the real thing. Just give me the real thing. He says you took church creed and took in the place and let the church creed govern the church when the Holy Ghost ought to have the way in the church to lead the church. That's exactly right. You'll have to come back to God's program before God can ever turn anything. It's got to be God in you. Amen. God in you. Not an opinion, not a creed, not a doctrine, not a dogma, not a quote, not your favorite scripture. God in you. Amen. Amen. That's what this is all about. Brother Branham said, you go read the last few pages of the church age book. He said, not for once do I do all these things to establish an organization or a denomination to myself. He said, this is to try to get individuals to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Where do we leave that off somewhere along the way? Where did the importance begin to, well, Brother so-and-so teaches this certain doctrine a certain way, and if we can get them to believe that, they'll be all right. And, well, Sister so-and-so, her skirts are a little shorter than they can be. If we could just get her to wear those about 3 inches longer, she'd be okay. You mean 3 inches of fabric is the difference between life and death? Come on now. Not if it's done in a legalistic way. Yes. Not if it's done just because you said that she should. Yeah. Amen. Now, if it's a change on the inside of the heart, when the inside of the heart changes, it'll change the outside as well. But let me tell you, there's a lot of women over in India and Afghanistan and different places with burqas and longer skirts than most message women will ever wear, walking 30 feet behind their husband, respecting him more than most American women would ever think to. Don't get me wrong, I don't want my wife to walk 30 feet behind me. Amen. Let me just say this to you tonight. Jesus Christ doesn't want you walking 30 feet behind him either. A lot of times that we do that, but it's our own negligence that's got us 30 feet behind him. He wants us right there by his side, walking step by step with us each step of the way. But sometimes he's got to coax us and bring us and drag us. Oh my. He's not an abusive mate. He's not an abusive spouse. He's the right kind of headship. But if it's just about long clothes, then a lot of the Muslims would have us beat 1,000,000 miles to 1. But yet when Jesus Christ comes on the inside of you, it's going to produce something on the outside as well. But many times we put the cart before the horse. Well, if we can just get their hair long enough, if we can just get their skirts long enough and their tops high enough, praise God, I hope we can. But I hope it's not just because some man convinced them of it. I hope it's because the Holy Spirit came and did a work on the inside. Or if not, they'll just become a self-righteous, twofold more child of hell than they was to begin with. You say, that's harsh, Brother Nathan. I'm just quoting the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times we slap a new set of clothes on somebody and call them a message person, and down in the depths of their heart, they're as big a sinner as they ever was. So we would have been better just to get them to Jesus, get down there and get a personal experience with Jesus Christ and watch him do the changing. Yes. instead of beating people over the head with a doctrine or a dogma, if we could just get them to a personal experience with Jesus Christ, we wouldn't have to tell them what to wear. We wouldn't have to tell them what type of music to listen to. We wouldn't have to tell them to stop smoking cigarettes and stop doing drugs and stop looking at pornography and stop watching filthy movies and reading filthy books and things. We wouldn't have to get on those things all the times if we just get them to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He would take away all that. But many times we give them the list. You can't do this anymore, and you got to do this now, and you can't do this, and you got to do that. And they just become a legalistic Pharisee, and they walk around, well, bless God, I guess I'm a message believer. You know, you can train a chihuahua. You can train a pig. You can train a golden retriever. And a lot of times all we do is just train people. We've got some good trained centers around the message. We've trained them. They know how to act in church. They know what to wear. They know what to say. They know what not to say. And still never anything happened on the inside of them. He said, you'll have to come back to God's program before God can ever turn anything. It's got to be God in you. What are you saying, Brother Nathan? You say we shouldn't do those things? Absolutely we should do those things. That's the word. But if we're just doing them out of legalism, then we're no better than just, you know, some Muslim out here that's doing everything that they think is right in the Quran, going down a checklist. They can go down checklists too. It's got to be more than a checklist. It's got to be God in you. Amen. Some of you spouses and things, maybe when you first got married and you weren't used to, you know, maybe some of you sisters were just little spoiled brats growing up and daddy just lets you get away with anything. And then all of a sudden you get into a marriage relationship and your husband trying to establish headship in the home. And you think, I hate doing this and I hate doing that. And he tells me to do this and he tells me to do that. I just have a hard time coming under headship. You ever really fully fall in love with him the way that you should and get the baptism of the Holy Ghost and those socks that you hated washing and those shirts that you hated ironing and those meals that you hated fixing, all of a sudden you'll think, this is wonderful. This is wonderful. I love doing this. What is it? You fell in love with the person instead of the paper. Now you had a paper, you had a marriage document that said you was married to that person. But if all you fell in love with was the idea of marriage or getting out of mommy and daddy's house, we've seen divorce after divorce over things like that. Oh, I got to have my freedom. I got to have my freedom. I got to get out of the house. And then you get into some other man's house and you realize, wait a minute, this isn't freedom. He's the head of the house. What did I do? Do I really even love him? And you get into these situations. But when you really love somebody, it's not a burden. It's not a toil. And that's like some of these things. Some sisters struggle so much. Oh, I can't quit this. And I want to do this so bad, and I know I shouldn't. Some of you brothers, oh, I wish I could give up this, and I wish I could give up that. And it just seems like I try, and I can't. And I know it's wrong, and I'm trying my best, but it's too hard to live this message. You get the Holy Spirit one time, really fall in love with Jesus Christ, and all those things that seem so hard and such a struggle, you'll think, I love doing this. I love going to church. Some of you sisters, I love wearing my hair down long and having my skirts appropriate and my shirts right and these things. I love it. What is it? A personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And then you realize, oh, his desires are now my desires. And his wants are my wants. And whatever he says, I'm happy to do it. See, there's a difference in falling in love with an idea and falling in love with a person. Amen. This is not just some religion. This is not just some form or creed or dogma or just a writing of rules. We should be falling in love with the person of Jesus Christ. Let him be the head of our homes. Let him be the head of our churches. Let him be the head of our fellowship and our activities and things. It'll all fall right under the word perfectly because he'll never do anything contrary to his word. Amen. God bless you if the musicians would come tonight. I'm always amazed at how the Lord can take something and change it different than what we had imagined. Sometimes I think it's going to be this, this, and this, and it never is that. And then sometimes you say things and you think, why on earth did I say that? And then you get a text from somebody, Brother Nathan, you just don't have any idea. You're right, I don't. But he does. Amen. He does, and he cares. Amen. He's mindful enough of you. He's mindful enough of you that he could lay on the song leader's heart a song to sing that would be exactly what you needed. He's mindful enough of you that he could lay on the musician's heart something to play that would be exactly what you needed.
He's mindful enough of you that he could lay on the pastor's heart something to preach or a guest minister to have or a tape that would be exactly what you needed. You realize how blessed we are? He's so mindful of us. He's so mindful of us. He knows exactly what we need. And sometimes even us as husbands or myself as a pastor, or the deacons, the leadership of the church, sometimes we think we know, Lord, I believe this is what we should do. And then you go to do it and the Lord just leads you a completely different way. I thank God for his leadership.
Amen.
I thank God that he's helped me. Now, I'm not saying that I'm perfect, but I thank God I'm not as stubborn as I used to be, that I'm learning the more that I yield to him and the less of Nathan Bryant gets projected and the more of him that does, the better things are in the home, in the church, at the restaurant, down at people's jobs, wherever it'll be. You just project more of him and less of you and things will get better and better and better.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, sometimes I know when we begin to look at things like this, it's hard and it's cutting. And maybe it hurts feelings because people don't believe some of these things. But Lord, I don't know what else to do except just try to say it as plain as Brother Branham shared it with us. He didn't bring something over complex and complicated that we had to spend 20 years trying to figure it out. But he believed in a God of simplicity. Lord, I thank you that you express yourself in that way. Sometimes so simple and so plain that it goes right over the heads of those that would try to make the word something of education or some intellectual conception. But Lord, you move and you work in the simplicity. Sometimes in just a simple housewife that could reach out to somebody and tell them that they're praying for them, or they could come along and see a situation with some children and a child that was discouraged or disappointed or got their feelings hurt and just comfort that child. Sometimes we don't realize those little things that you nudge us to do, that's absolutely the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us as individuals, just as much as he would lead a pastor of what tape to play or what sermon to preach, just as much as he would lead a song leader of a song that would bless people and maybe even grant deliverance in somebody's life or victory over something that they had been struggling with. Lord, you're still leading individuals. Lord, you're leading individuals. You're guiding us and placing us and Lord, to what you would have us to be. Help us, Lord, to continue to yield to you. Help us to recognize, Lord, that if we're truly yielding to you, it would never be contrary to what your word says. It would never be out of order, Lord, of something that you would have set in place or something that you would be doing, Lord. Help us to be mindful of you. Help us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Lord, when the presence of God is moving here, whether it be the preaching of the word or the playing of a tape or a worship service or whatever it would be, Father, may we be so sensitive to the Holy Spirit that we could just yield ourselves to you and recognize the time and the place, Father, what to do. And Lord, just have your way with us, Father, we pray. Not only when we come together for service in these four walls, but Lord Jesus, have your way in our lives, at our homes, at our jobs, Lord, in the schools or in the supermarkets or wherever we would go, Father. Lord, may you lead us down the path that you would have us to take. May you give us words of encouragement for those that are hurting. Lord, there's so many around the world right now that they're so discouraged and they've been so hurt and so disillusioned. Lord, they're just looking for something real. They're looking for real, true, genuine, godly love. Father, if we don't express it to them, who will? Help us, Jesus. Lord, lead us to those that you would have us to witness to. Let our lives shine before others. Help us to be an example. Lord, when we're out fellowshipping places, Lord, may we never bring a reproach. But Lord, may we just bring an example of how Christians should act. Help us, Lord Jesus. Lord, just give us all that relationship with you, Father, where we could commune with you and you could lead us to whatever you would have us do or say. Lord, that's our desire tonight. Help us, Father. Less of us, Father, and more of you is our desire. Help us just to continually yield to you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen.
He can break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, he can break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain. Oh, there is.
every chain. Oh, break every chain. Oh, if you've got chains tonight, he can break them. Oh, I can't feel all my chains, they're falling. Oh, I can't feel every chain of doubt and unbelief, they're falling. Lord, I can't feel every chain of addiction, every chain of depression, they're falling. Lord, come and break every chain. Lord, break every chain, right in the face of Satan's Eden, there's a bride that's rising up, she's making herself ready. We love you, Father. We love you, Jesus. You were born. Let's sing it that way again to him tonight. He's the King of Kings. Just play that softly. Just want to say God bless you. Certainly appreciate you. Appreciate your prayers for our travels and just during this time. And I want to say that I'm thoroughly blessed to have brothers here, Brother Layton, Brother Hoover, Brother Trevor, Brother Arnie, Brother Furman, the trustee brothers, the deacon brothers, to where when I have to do something like this, I don't have to worry and stay up all night and stress out about it. But God has placed them in here that you're in good hands, and they're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and I believe their desire is the same as mine, just to see God magnified and to move in individuals. Amen. I'm so thankful for the presence of God in our midst. We're truly blessed. Don't ever take it for granted. Amen. That He comes and meets us like this, changes lives, heals bodies, mends broken homes, does the seemingly impossible. When the doctors give up hope, when others turn away and say they'll never make it, He comes on the scene anyhow. Amen. Amen. I'm so thankful to be serving a God like that. Amen. Let's sing it again together tonight. Oh, Messiah is the Lord of lords. Oh, our Messiah, He's the King of